Did you know that Christians often practice willful sin? Did you know that sometimes we know that what we're doing is wrong, but we do it anyway?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This series of messages by Pastor Brian Grant is taken from the book of Hebrews, where Pastor Grant opens up, each in their turn, five specific exhortations by the writer challenging first century Jewish Christian believers who are not as steadfast in their faith as they ought to have been. In fact, some were considering abandoning the Christian faith altogether and going back into the rituals of Judaism. Thus, these exhortations each contain warnings of dire consequences that would follow such faithlessness. The message this evening comes from Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer warns believers of the dire consequences of committing willful sin. Pastor Grant warns this is not the kind of message that makes us want to jump up and shout. Nevertheless, we need to hear what the Spirit of God wants us to hear. So we invite you to turn there in your Bibles and follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings his message, Flirting with Disaster. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A young soldier and his commanding officer got on a train together, and the only available seats were two seats facing a young lady and her grandmother. Well, they sat down facing this young lady and her grandmother, and all four of them got into conversation, and it was evident that there was a strong mutual attraction between the young soldier and the young lady. They just couldn't take their eyes off of each other. Well, the train eventually went into a tunnel, and sometimes, you know, when train goes in, go into tunnels, the train goes totally dark. And in the total darkness, there were two sounds you could hear. You could hear the sound of somebody smacking somebody, the kiss, the smack of a kiss. And the other sound you heard was a whack on somebody's face. Well, the train came out the tunnel, the lights came back on, and the girl's grandmother, she sat there and she said to herself, I can't believe that young man would kiss my granddaughter in the darkness. I'm so glad she slapped him because he deserved it. The commanding officer, he was sitting there and he was saying to himself, he said, I can't blame the young man for kissing the girl, but I wish you had slapped him and not me. The girl, she sat there and she was saying to herself, I am so glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him so hard. The young man, he was sitting and he was smiling. He said, I can't believe it. I kissed such a hot girl and slapped my commanding officer and got away with both of them. Sometimes we can get away with things done in the dark, but we will never get away with sin, no matter how dark it is when we sin. Am I right about that? No matter how dark it is. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, which was just read in our hearing, God gives us ominous warning about playing with sin. And today, as we examine this text, I'd like to speak to you on the theme, flirting with disaster. You know, we've been going through the book of Hebrews, looking at the five main exhortations God gave the Jewish Christians in the early church. And today we are at exhortation number four. And if this is the first time you're joining us, whether live or on the internet, I encourage you to visit our YouTube channel or our Facebook page and catch up with the three messages that you have missed so far, because there's a building up as we go through the book of Hebrews in these five main exhortations. And today, as we consider the fourth exhortation, God is giving them a warning about the danger of despising God's word. The word despising is not actually in the text, but the clear evidence that they had despised God's word is that the Bible charges them with practicing willful sin. What is willful sin? Well, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm picking up at verse 26, and it says here, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." As I said in my prayer, this is not a message that is going to make you feel all that good. Listen, we need some hard messages because the Bible has some hard things to say. Sometimes all we want is some cherry or baby messages. But we will not grow in our Christian faith, we will not grow in our walk, unless we deal with the harsh things that God has to say and take corrective action. So let's talk about what is willful sin. This is serious stuff, evidently, based on the text that we had, verses that we just read. You know, in the phrase sinning willfully, and it's clearly being addressed to Christians because the writer identifies, he says, if we sin willfully. This is not a verse to unbelievers. These words are written to us, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior. The phrase sin willfully is in the continuous tense, and the dictionary defines willful as a determination to do what you want to do, not caring what others think. So put this down in your notes. Willful sin is not a single act of sin, because it's in the continuous. It's not a single act of sin. Willful sin is a determination to continue sinning even though I know it's wrong and I don't care what God thinks. Did you know that Christians often practice willful sin? Did you know that sometimes we know that what we're doing is wrong, but we do it anyway? Are you practicing willful sin? If you are, God is warning you today that you are flirting with disaster. I want to share with you three C's this morning about willful sin. Three C's. The first C, the catalyst for willful sin. Why would a Christian participate in willful sin? I honestly believe that one of the reasons why we will participate in willful sin is because we have an improper view of God. You can put that in your notes. One of the catalysts, one of the main catalysts, is because we have an improper view of God. Look with me at verse 30 and 31. Verse 30 and 31 of Hebrews chapter 10. And here's what it tells us there. We've already read verses 26 and 27. But verse 30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." This is not a view of God that people like. You know, we prefer to focus only on the tender side of God. Am I not right about that? So when we sin, we expect that God will only show us love and grace. But in today's text, God is showing us another side of himself. Yes, he's a God of love, he's a God of grace, but he's also a God of vengeance and judgment. And I believe the reason we only want to focus on the tender side of God is because many of us are not aware of the attributes of God. And so I want this morning, but as I move along, just to quickly, I'm not going to delve deeply, but I just want to remind you of three of the important attributes of God. And the first attribute of God I want to bring to our attention is the fact that God is transcendent. Very often we are forgetting that God is transcendent. God is not some person just like your neighbor. He is transcendent. God, listen, put this in your notes. God is higher and superior to everything in the created realm. God is not the man upstairs. Isaiah 57:15 makes it clear that God is the high and lofty one who lives in eternity. Listen, God, he exists so far above everything in the created realm that God would be unknowable.
Well, I hope you're hearing me this morning.
God is so far above everything in the created realm. He's not the man upstairs. He's not just a little higher than we are. He's so far above everything in the created realm that God is unknowable. The only way that you and I know anything about God is because God has chosen to reveal himself to us, amen, and he has chosen to bring us to know him. Aren't you glad that this transcendent God has chosen to have a relationship with you and me, amen? But God is not only transcendent, he's not so he's way higher than everything in the created realm. Oh, my friend, this is not some little God. You know, I go into people's homes sometimes and I see their little God on their shelf. This is not a God on somebody's shelf. He is the transcendent God. He deserves our worship, our adoration, our devotion. He's the transcendent God, but he's also a self-sufficient God. And Acts chapter 17, 24 and 25 makes it clear. Listen, put this down. God does not need anything.
Oh, we forget that sometimes. We think he needs us. We think he needs our worship. God does not need anything. Amen. God does not need anything. Write this down. He does not even need us.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
The song, What a Beautiful Name It Is, has a line that says, "You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down." That song has created a lot of controversy because some say it gives the impression that God needed us in heaven. I don't look at it that way, but listen, some do. But I hope that's not what the writers meant. I hope they didn't mean that God needed us in heaven. Because if that's what they meant, they are totally wrong. Because God does not need us in heaven. When we get to heaven, we're not going to make God any happier. Sometimes we have this self-inflated idea that God needs us, and I'm adding something to God. I want you to know that the infinite God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had perfect fellowship from eternity past. They were quite in unison and enjoying fellowship with each other. They do not need us.
But I thank God that this transcendent God, who does not need me, he robed himself in human flesh and he stepped down, and God in Christ went to a cross, and Jesus Christ died for my sin. And this morning, because God stepped down, a self-sufficient God who did not need me, He stepped down and went to a cross and died for me. And this morning, yes, I can sing, what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. Because, hallelujah, Jesus Christ died for me, and He died for you as well. And my friend, you might be listening to me this morning and you have never yet come to know Him. I want you to know Jesus loves you. God loves you. The transcendent God loves you. Hallelujah. And He stepped down not because He needed you. Hallelujah. We needed Him. God is transcendent. God is self-sufficient. But God is also holy. His moral purity, put that in your notes. His moral purity is absolute. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, the angelic beings cried to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. He is transcendent, He is self-sufficient, He is holy, and we could go on and on, but I've said enough to demonstrate that a transcendent, self-sufficient, holy God would not tolerate sin. For although He stooped down to pick us up and to bless us with heaven, His divine attributes demand holy standards. My brother and sister, I don't want you to miss that. God's divine attributes demand holy standards, and God is not going to put up with your mess. He's not going to put up with my mess. Just because I'm a child of God, God is not going to put up with our mess. God must judge sin. You know, folks often have to put up with stuff to keep a relationship going. You remember, I think it was last year before her baby was born, their baby was born. Khloe Kardashian's boyfriend, Tristan Thompson, cheated on her, but she just had to deal with it, right? Because she wanted to keep the relationship going. That so happens in human relationships. To keep them going, sometimes we got to put up with a whole lot of mess. But guess what? God doesn't need us. He doesn't have to put up with our mess. He's going to deal with us. He does not need us. His divine attributes demand. He cannot operate contrary to His attributes, and He's going to deal with us. And my friend, whether we're saved or not, we need to realize that God must and will judge sin. Oh, I know nobody preaches about hell anymore. But hell is still in the Bible. And I want you to know, my friend, hell is still as real as it was when your grandmother was growing up. Hell hasn't gone anywhere. There is, yes, God still is prepared a lake of fire for those who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as His Son. And I'm praying that this morning, even as you listen to this message that speaks about the holiness of God, that this morning you would open your heart to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior. He can change your life. Hallelujah. He can change your life. But those of us who are Christians need to realize He ain't gonna play with us either. Amen. Listen, the first catalyst, I believe, to willful sin is an improper view of God. But the second catalyst, I believe, is an improper view of grace. You can put that in your notes. An improper view of grace. You know, in today's upside-down church, some Christians have a distorted view of grace that makes them believe they can keep sinning and get away with it. I tell you, it just blows my mind to understand how men of God can pick up the Word of God and teach such nonsense. There's now rise to a new type of teaching called hyper grace. hyper-grace teachers. And these guys, they overemphasize grace while minimizing other teachings of Scripture. Some of them will tell you that since Jesus died for all sins, yes, he died for your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins, they say you can keep sinning and you don't even have to confess. Because all the sins have been taken care of. Enjoy yourself. Keep sinning all the way to heaven. My friend, 1 John 1:9 is still in the book. Hallelujah, there is provision for sin. But let's not dare think we can keep on singing just because there's 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins. Listen, he ain't going to forgive you until you confess. The provision for your cleansing is already been made. But 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says to a Christian, if we sin, if we confess, he will not take care of the sin until you confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's only if. You know, years ago I heard someone argue that if you want God's grace to abound, you must make sin abound. You know, they use Romans 5:20 as their text. You know, for Romans 5:20, for those of you who know Romans 5:20, it says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So they said, you want grace to abound? Keep on sinning. Because where sin abounds, grace will abound. Well, what a false interpretation of Scripture. Turn to Romans chapter 6. If they had only turned to Romans chapter 6, they would realize how false that teaching is. Romans chapter 6. We're just going to pick out a few verses there as we roll along. Romans chapter 6. So Romans 5:28, it says, we just mentioned that, but verse 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And what does your Bible say? My Bible says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in sin? Verse number 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do you see that? Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. You're not under law, but you're under grace. My son, listen good. The idea of grace is not that we can keep sinning because of God's grace. God's grace is extended to us to help us not to sin. Because by the grace of God, listen, we can experience the power of God that will help us to stop sinning. Don't you ever believe it is okay to keep sinning. And there is a total false view of grace. And I believe this is one of the big reasons why Christians sometimes sin, because they said it's okay to sin because of God's grace. I'm going to get forgiveness. And God is telling you this morning, and he's telling me this morning, you better watch out. First, the catalyst for willful sin. But second, the consequence of willful sin. When we sin willfully, the consequences are much more far-reaching than we may realize. Put this in your notes. The first consequence of sin, willful sin, we trample Christ under our foot.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.